Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
Again, it is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, taking you into the garage area and talking to the folks that make the race cars go around the racetracks. It is great, and we appreciate you joining us. Steve Post, Pit Road Reporter for MRN, joined by 25-time and championship-winning crew chief Todd Gordon. Hello, Todd. How are you?
I'm great. We had another suspenseful race and shortened by weather, but everybody trying to figure out their positions for it. It was interesting.
Rain races have always been part of NASCAR, and they will always be part of NASCAR. Whether and we've evolved with the wet weather tires that got us a head start at Chicago, got us a little bit further down the road, even though it was a shortened event. But watching radar has been a part of crew chief's job since there's been radar. Prior to that, it was calling flight service. Prior to that, it was this. Prior to that, the bottom line is this is part of the sport. And when you hit the halfway mark, we all know what the rules are.
Yep.
Just a matter of trying to execute and deal with Mother Nature.
Yeah, what a great show.
Gosh.
Man, up to that point, we got a race worth of action in 180, whatever it was, laps.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the place is starting to get slick.
Yep.
It didn't race like Daytona or Talladega. It was more handling, I thought. Guys that you saw in qualifying, guys couldn't hold it wide open.
Right.
Several guys, you know, missed it by that. But then we saw that you had to make the call, right? I really thought Brad Keselowski was probably the best car there.
Right.
And showed that. I think the Fords were really good, which we all expected that. Their speedway stuff has been pretty good this year.
Sure.
But Brad stayed out, stayed for the stage win, and drove back to sixth. So I think a good effort, but a lot of savvy crew chiefs watching that weather, knowing that when the caution came early before stage two, they could get themselves in a window and Randall Burnett being one of them.
Right. Randall was one of them. We're going to talk to Randall on the program here today. He is our guest. Rudy Fugel was another one. And to when I look at that 24 team, I think it's been a fascinating year for that team because they've won four times now, and they've done it a variety of different ways. William always is driving the cars well. Hendrick always prepares good race cars, okay? Mm-hmm. I think this one here, and we've had some where they've won the battle off from pit road at the end of the race. We've had that. This one here was kind of a never-give-up mindset when the world was crumbling down around them, and it was crumbling down. It did not look good for a while. I am telling you, Rudy Fugel rallied the troops, rallied the driver, put themselves in a spot, and then the driver went up and took the lead at the end. This, to me, this was a championship caliber performance from this team.
And this is a championship caliber team this year. I think last year, as we looked at this, I actually going into the playoffs last year, I thought they'd exit the playoffs early. They had won early. They'd had a couple of races that they won really early, but their summer stretch was really, they were non-existent. And then come playoff time, first playoff race, they snap right back to it in the form that you saw them to begin. This year has been that form all the way through. If you look at it, they're our points leader. They've got the most wins with four, and they're our points leader with a 60-point penalty this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have almost a 100-point lead if they didn't have a penalty. So this team, I think, is really setting themselves up to be they're the leader in the clubhouse, and I feel like they're the most probable right now to run through the playoffs.
My gosh, good stuff, that's for sure. Speaking of playoffs, bubble watching. And we are into bubble watching. And if you're Daniel Suarez, crew chief Travis Mack, and Michael McDowell, crew chief Travis Peterson, boy, that strategy, those top five finishes, they came in really, really handy for those teams and moved them in. But I mean, we're not there yet, but in is better than out.
They are both on the bubble because they're tied in points, they're only, 3 points ahead of 17th. So.
Yeah.
And really, I still look at it. I don't feel like either one of them can feel like they control their destiny because we've got enough opportunities for people outside of the top 20 with Indy Road Course coming up, with Watkins Glen coming up, with Daytona as the final regular season race.
You don't want to be on that bubble.
I don't know that Chris Buescher and Brad Keselowski feel comfortable right now.
To me, when you look at it, because there's so many good cars outside that would jump, that would move the bubble, and throw Daniel Suarez and Michael McDowell in there as possible race winners.
Yes.
I think that they could win also. But throw them in there, I would be, if I'm Brad and Christopher, I'm like, I'm not resting totally comfortable on that.
If they win, I feel all right about it, because we'll see where it goes. But you've got three left.
Right.
So I think Chris Buescher feels good. And, you know, I was looking at this. Chris Buescher is on such a run right now.
Yeah.
Chris Buescher was the bubble guy when Chase Elliott first came back at Martinsville. Right. He's 11th in points now.
You mentioned Chase Elliott. I mean, they're... I don't know. I'm not. I thought when he came back, I said, well, surely they're going to win a race and make it in. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like Hendrick started out the season like on a tear.
Yeah.
They were by far good.
I think that's where
feel like the garage has caught up.
Yeah.
Because really, you look at it. Yeah. Rudy Fugel won this weekend. Not the best car.
No.
Not the best car at all.
I think that's a concern to me, is that there's a couple of teams that seem to be week in and week out better.
And I don't feel like, I mean, Kyle Larson was dominant start the season. I don't feel like he and Cliff have been as great as they needed to be. I feel like that program is, I think they're still very good.
Oh gosh, yes.
They're just not exceptional.
You just said the way Rudy and William are performing, they're probably the odds on favorite. So yes, give them that, but other teams have caught them.
Yeah.
I think if you're Chase, that's a concern, because if you're head and shoulders above everybody, then getting a win. But if you're equal with a bunch of others, I think it's challenging.
We've got great opportunities coming up for Chase.
No doubt, though. You're right.
You look at it. I mean, I'm not writing them off.
Yeah, no. We talk about this one's road course, this one's super speed. Well, we've got seven great opportunities for Chase. He's that good.
Yeah.
That team is that good.
Yeah.
And we could be sitting here with two wins going into the playoffs saying, boy, we were worried about nothing when we talked about it back here in middle part of July. Do you want to give – okay, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
One other attaboy, J.J. Yealey and Jerry Kelly at Rick Ware Racing, a seventh-place finish. This is what I love about these style of races. Because I cannot imagine what the shop was like on Monday morning. This is a people business motivation. Those guys at Rick Ware Racing work their guts out. We know that the smaller teams, they probably work their guts out more than the big teams work their guts out, which is
yes.
Yes, exactly. J.J. Yealey's first top 10 since Daytona 2013. That's 10 years for J.J. Yealey. Jerry Kelly, his first year as a crew chief, first career top 10. Love that.
Yeah, awesome, awesome story. Awesome
good stuff.
Story. And that's part of what this Atlanta package does.
Mm-hmm.
Brings opportunities for people, and they manage to race very well and put themselves in a position and a great top 10 finish.
Great top 10 finish for sure. So kudos to everyone up at Rick Ware Racing.
Another one with top 10. Let's get to him.
What did I miss?
Randall Burnett.
Well, Randall Burnett. Yeah, Kyle... Boy, they're Kyle Busch and Randall Burnett. What a pairing this has been. And we're going to talk to Randall here on the program today. We're going to chat with him as far as how that's gone. And really, the last 2 weeks, they've come out with top five finishes, recovering from all kinds of stuff. But again, I think, like I said to Rudy Fugel, I think recovering from missteps and problems is a great quality if you're running for a championship.
Yes. Yes. He's another one I put my championship
for. He's another one. There we go. Well, we got two of Todd's four right now. I already figured out. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, that's what we're going to do. Randall Burnett after that top five finish down in Atlanta. We'll talk to him next.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Post. And let's go right to the Zoom call. Joining us from Upper Richard Childress Racing, crew chief for Kyle Busch on the Chevy Camaros up there, the number 8 car, Randall Burnett joins us. Hello, Randall. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
It is great. Great to catch up with you, that's for sure. Randall, kind of want to start big picture with you. two-thirds mark, 60% of the season. I'm not sure where we're at with the math. Your combination with Kyle Busch, just kind of assess how you guys have been, what you guys are working on, the goods, the bads, the uglies, everything that's been up there with that eight car.
Yeah, I think overall it's been pretty successful for us. Obviously, we've got some wins and, you know, a handful of top fives and a lot of top tens. You know, I think there's definitely some more room for improvement for us. We got to clean up some things, got to get a little bit better with our short track program and find what Kyle needs on those. Those have kind of been our Achilles heel, if you'd say. And our intermediate program's been really good. The super speedway stuff's been really good. So, and ran really well on the road courses. So, you know, we just kind of clean up some details, I feel like. Just you know, some communication things. You know, just some execution things, and I think we're in a fairly good spot.
Yeah, I would say that. I look back at it, last seven points races, all top tens for you guys, and competitive top fives in there, several of them as well. Just talk about how that chemistry between you and a new driver, you know, how does that build, and how do you feel you are, and how much do you feel you've got to go?
Well, I still feel like we're building on that. You know, Kyle came in, we spent a lot of time together this winter, you know, me getting to know him a little bit, and vice versa. And, you know, he's very detail oriented. He come in, he's like, hey, how's your process for doing this? How's your process for doing this? What do we do about this? What do we do about this? And he's really pushed us to be better. And honestly, that's kind of what we needed up here. We needed some, you know, a little bit of leadership to help us with some of that stuff and a new way of looking at things. And he's brought a lot of that to the table. So, I feel like he's elevated our game for sure. He's certainly kept me on my toes, but I think it's been good. I think our communication's good. I feel like we get along pretty well, you know, and I feel like he believes in what we're doing.
There are a handful of elite drivers. Todd and I talked about this a little bit. Todd's had the privilege of working with a couple of them, you know, with Brad Keselowski, I'd say Joey Logano, really, really good elite level caliber drivers. You had shared with me earlier this year, it's like, man, I'd watch Kyle Busch from afar, but I now know what I didn't know. You mentioned the details in the preparation. A race weekend, what else does he bring to the table that puts him in that top five, top three category of elite drivers?
Oh man, it's just the way his mind works. It's really funny. Like he just he's always racing. Like he's always thinking about how to make something better, how we can be more efficient at doing something. You know, he's always looking, and he'll just be he'll text me at 9-10 o'clock at night. Hey, what about this? Or hey, what about that? You know what I mean? So like it's all the time with him. He gets something in his mind. He starts communicating about it. Doesn't really matter what time of night it is. We just, we talk about it and try to make things better. And, it's nice to have somebody, you know, with that kind of experience and that, you know, that kind of success saying, hey, have you ever thought about this? Or, hey, have you ever thought about that? It's nice. It's refreshing. And I think it helps us a lot.
You talk about that and you see it. It's one of the things he's known for. Well, I'll bring up one instance though. You've had a fair amount of speeding penalties because of that racing everywhere piece, right? Trying to get every bit out of it. How do you guys work through that and get to the point where you can race at 99%, not 101%?
Yeah, we're obviously still working on that. We've had a few speeding penalties this year. So, you know, like Nate does a great job, our engineer. Him and Kyle work really hand in hand on all that. He's and Kyle's one of the best on pit road. But when you're one of the best on pit road, just like Denny, you get a lot of speeding penalties because you're right there on the edge. And so they're working through that. We've done a better job. It certainly hurt us a couple times this year. I think we came in leading at Dover and got a speeding penalty, and that kind of set the rest of the tone for our day. And so we just kind of got to minimize those mistakes, kind of weigh out the risk versus the reward at some of those places and do a little bit better job of managing that.
I want to reach back and I want to reach back to something you said in the first piece, because I looked at it. I feel like you want it California. I would say a higher speed intermediate fall off track, Talladega. And you said your short track package needs work, but you want a gateway. I would think that some of the short track tendencies play there. I guess it's a little faster aero-wise, but talk about your strengths across all three. You said weak at short tracks. I don't necessarily see that, I think, with that gateway win, but your take?
Well, I think, you know, the gateway win, we had a great car there. Started out in practice, we were okay, and we we did a lot of communicating and made a lot of good adjustments throughout the weekend. The thing with the Gateway deal is it is that intermediate aero package, right? So that's the one caveat that's, yeah, race is like a short track, but it's still the kind of the intermediate package, aero package that we've had some success with. So, you know, I think the balance of that short track package is kind of maybe thrown us for a little bit of a loop to try to kind of get that aligned up with where we need to be mechanically and just finding a feel for him at places like Richmond and in Phoenix and in those places. We haven't been all that great yet. So that's something we're working hard on our end, trying to sort out and we'll get another go this weekend at Loudon.
Well, there we go. And let's talk a little bit about that. We've got 7 races now before we get into the playoffs. You guys, 3 wins. You're obviously locked in as far as that goes. What do you need to do? What do you want to do as far as these next 7 races go? And specifically in the short term, Loudon, what's the game plan heading to there?
Well, we need to keep our momentum going. We need to, like I said, build on our short track program. We got Loudon and then Richmond a few weeks later, I believe. So those 2 races for us are going to be big to set us up for, you know, the playoffs. We got Martinsville and obviously Phoenix at the end of the year coming up in there. So we want to take everything we can learn at Loudon and Richmond and try to get that part sorted out. Try to work on our weak link of what we feel like our season's been. And then we want to score as many stage points and try to, you know, we're within reach of winning that, the regular season championship. Like it's not out of the realm for us to be there. So we want to take and capitalize everything we can, try to put a full fledged effort into doing that. And with that, scoring as many race wins or as many stage wins as we can to kind of build up that buffer and that point that you need going into the playoffs.
Yeah, you talk about that, those playoff points. A lot of people miss that 15 points for the regular season champion, right? That's a big bounty to go after. You talked about the short track stuff and wanting to work on that. And then NASCAR is going to work on that short track package this weekend. You're not going to be part of that test, but I'm sure you've got some of the information and one of your supported teams and colleague is going for that test, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. So we got Collig going to that test. You know, they're good partners of us. We do all of our meetings with them, share a lot of information with them. So, you know, we work really good together with Trent and Matt and everybody there at Collig. And so we'll definitely be keeping a close eye on what they're doing up there, take all their feedback and see if we can learn anything from that test. I don't know what NASCAR's plans are. It doesn't sound like they're going to change that for this year, you know, but there's no telling. They've been known to do crazier things. So, you know, we'll just see how that test goes. I think if it's a smashing success, then, you know, maybe they'll do something different. I don't know.
It is. It's challenging. That's for sure. It really is to watch and to see how they go. And because the reality of it is something we need to work on. Mm-hmm. It's been a challenge, no doubt about it. The short track and even the road courses, as far as that goes. I kind of want to go back and tie in a little bit to that with the colleague and the entire thing. Globally, RCR, that campus up there amazes me. You see Xfinity cars from different teams rolling down through there. That has got to be a pretty neat place to work, to see all the race cars and the integration of all of the teams up there.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've got the 48 Xfinity car on campus over here. They're in our old engineering building across the street here from our main building. And then Collig's got two buildings here up on campus. We've got all ECR up here. Obviously the museum's here, which is really cool. That was the original building here that they got started in on this part of the campus. So yeah, it's a cool place to drive into every morning. You cross the railroad tracks and you come in there and see the museum, see a lot of cool cars in the windows up there. And just, you know, they've done a great job. RC's done a great job of building this place and really taking it and working with the Alliance teams, helping other teams getting going. And, you know, he's done that for a long time. And it's really impressive to see it grow and be a part of it.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's bigger than just your two cars there. Yeah. When you bring all that data and your partners and the people that you support. That becomes a little bit more data. It's impressive to see kind of how that whole vision has come forward. I want to go back to last week and actually the last 2 weeks. We've had 2 shortened races. One, you found out partway through at Chicago that you cut 25 laps off of it. But bigger yet, the unknowns last week. We had a rain shortened race. Talk about the thoughts and preparations and how you handle basically from end of stage 1 to end of race. watching the weather and how all that kind of interaction happens with you and the engineers and the drivers?
Yeah, so it's been an eventful two weeks for the 8 car here the last couple of weeks. Chicago obviously got the tire barrier pretty early and you know, kind of got behind the 8 ball on that a little bit. So, you know, we right from then we were like, okay, well, what's our opportunities going to be? So we pitted every chance we got just to kind of see, like, the guys that were leading, they weren't going to pit. So we kind of took the opposite end of that and just kind of trying to work it out. And, you know, myself and my spotter, Derek, and our engineers, we got talking on the other channel. We're like, hey, man, like, we're 35, 40 laps into this and we're almost 2 hours in. There's only about an hour and 20 minutes of daylight left. What are we going to do here? And so that's when we got to thinking, man, we need to do something different to try to grab some track position here because we're really running out of time. And we saw that there was going to be a potential for that. So we had a caution come out there at Chicago and was able to take advantage of that, came in pitted. That got us to where we could go to lap 85, not knowing what to expect, mm-hmm. right? But we were just, okay, well, we don't think it's going to go to 100. We can get ourselves to lap 85. Maybe that'll be enough. And then not long after that, that was when, you know, NASCAR came in and said, hey, we're going to run to 75 because of darkness. And we're like, well, that was a win. So, so we were able to take advantage of that. You know, a lot of those guys in the lead, you know, hadn't pitted and didn't want to give up their track position, rightfully so. So that was kind of a, you know, one of those deals. We've seen that happen at Loudon before. It happened a couple of years ago, I think, mm-hmm. when Eric Amarola won a couple of years ago up there. You know, with just getting started late or rain delay or whatever. So, and then this weekend, kind of similar kind of deal. We got kind of behind the 8 ball, got involved in some stuff and was kind of had a really good car, just wasn't making the progress. We'd start making progress and then, you know, kind of something would happen. We'd get shuffled out or we kind of got together, got up in the wall with the 42 car there at one point and lost a bunch of track position. And, so we were just watching the rain and caution came out at lap 125 and I was like, well, let's come in and pit and see how long we can go. And I think we were good to like 210 or something and had the help of a couple extra cautions in there to slow the lap count down. And fortunately it got there around whatever lap 185 or whatever it was when we ended there. So, you know, just kind of trying to take advantage, thinking outside of the box when you get into a position like that and your back's against the wall, it's like, okay, we got to start thinking about how to do something different.
What kind of information do you have in a weather situation like that, radar wise, or what kind of resources do you have to kind of estimate the timing of rain coming?
Well, we've got all kinds of radar, all kinds of different radars. We got the radar from NASCAR. We use WeatherTap. We got Andy Petrie on the box, which is a avid, you know, pilot. So he's always on top of the weather anyway. So he's always telling me what's going on as well. So a lot of communication with the guys back in the war room. They're keeping an eye on it. So we had about 47 different weather apps going, I think, the other night to kind of determine. None knowing which one of them was going to be right, but all of them were kind of pointing to the same direction.
My money's on Petrie. My money's on Petrie. I'm telling you, that guy, he's seen it all, done it all, and done everything. Hey, you mentioned, Todd Guy, you talk about Chicagoland. In your past, you were a crew chief on the Xfinity Series, and one of your drivers was a racer by the name of Ben Kennedy. Well, Ben is no longer a racer. He is Lisa Kennedy France's son. So yeah. in the hierarchy of NASCAR, one of the guys that had his fingerprints all over Chicago and a lot of the changes. Do you interact with Ben as a former crew chief driver? Kind of what's your take on him now that he's climbed out of the driver's seat? He seems to still have a pretty big impact on what we're all doing around here.
Oh yeah. Ben's done a great job with his role transitioning into his role. You know, he wanted to be a race car driver and he did a great job, man. We had, he ran that 2 car for us when I first got over to RCR. And, you know, we had some really good races. Loudon was one of the really good races we had. We had a shot at winning Road America with him and kind of got spun and didn't get to finish that one off, but had some really, really good races with Ben. And he's a lot of fun to be around, a great guy. And yeah, I still talk to him a lot. Every time I see him, you know, we talk and interact and, he's just a great person, great ambassador for the sport. And I'm really proud of the role he's kind of worked his way into and doing for NASCAR. It's great. I think he's, you know, one of the brains behind some of these things like the Coliseum, this short, the Chicago deal. all that. I think, you know, I think it's great seeing them step outside their box and getting somewhere they're not comfortable and doing something different to see how it goes to get the fans interacting.
Yeah, really is fun stuff. That's for sure. Always fun catching up with you, Randall. No doubt about it. I did say final question, but I do have one more. I saw you on Instagram, you and your wife dancing to Wagon Wheel. Where'd you learn how to dance, my man? You've got some pretty good steps there.
Well, I got to keep her happy too, you know. So we went for Sonoma. We went a little bit early. Went out on Wednesday afternoon and got to go and did some wine tasting. So I might have had a glass or two of wine on that train. We took the train through Napa there, wine train.
And, God, yeah.
So that was us dancing on the wine train. So we were having a good time. We were on our way back. So we had a lot of fun that trip. It was great to have her go and got to hang out with RC out there and go to Camus and a few places out there with him. And it was cool.
Cool indeed, that's for sure. Randall, we wish you the best throughout the balance of the year. I know we'll talk to you again down the road, but congratulations on the great run to the season so far, and thanks for joining us here on Crew Call.
Yeah, thanks. I'll make sure I get some fries and send you a picture of them tonight from Millbridge.
The Millbridge French fries, the best fries on the planet. I always tweet about it and that sort of thing. I'm not there. Randall will be there. He's going to taunt. See, I tweet and stare at. He's taunting is what he's doing. I see what you're doing. Sounds good, Randall. Good catching up with you, man.
Yes, sir. We'll talk to you guys later. Thanks for having me on.
There we go. Randall Burnett joining us up at Richard Childress Racing. Stay with us. More in just a moment.
Hey everyone, it's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Always enjoy conversations with Randall Burnett. Enjoy him here on Crew Call. One of the guys I go to in the pits a lot to talk about, whether it's short track racing, French fries at Millbridge, or kids racing, or Cup Series in the garage area. Just one of the really, really good people in that garage.
Yeah, definitely is. And love the pairing. Yeah, we said this in the beginning of the year. Yeah. I felt this way. I thought there'd be multiple wins here. It came earlier than I thought to start with, but definitely one of the guys that I think is the leaders for the championship four. We'll see what all plays out. And into Randall's piece, he's got a couple opportunities to tune up that short track package coming at Loudon this weekend and then Richmond here before we get to the playoffs.
It's got to be a real blessing, if you will, to be tuning up a short track package as opposed to scratching and clawing your way in.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I think you know, he talked about it. Still wants to chase the regular season championship, and I think that gets lost in a lot of people. It's the points payout for the regular season points thing is 15 points for the champion, 10 for second, 8 for third, then single digits down from there to 10. So there's a playoff point bounty there to go grab, and race wins do that too. They're 5 points apiece, but that regular season championship is definitely a goal for him.
No doubt. In range, that's for sure. Loudon, the Magic Mile up there in New Hampshire, flat 1 mile racetrack. You're a crew chief going up there. What are things you're looking at with the weekend, the race duration, the track? What things are you looking at, crew chief?
Yeah, it's a shorter, you know, it's we are that way. A lot of short tracks now, but it's a shorter race. You don't have a lot of time for recovery. Trying to figure out two tires versus four. If you remember last year, Martin Truex and Kevin Harvick, two best cars there. They took two on the last stop, and Christopher Bell took four and beat him with it. So, it's a place that two does play for a while. I think you know strategy calls there. It's flat. It's almost negatively banked down there on the very bottom. Exiting turn two, if you can get drive off of there, that's big. But you got to stay secure enough getting in the corner. So, a really unique racetrack, a really cool racetrack, and something that. You know, another data point for these guys to figure out this lower down four short track package, as Randall talked about.
Yeah, it is. It does. It really does. When we wrap up the Cup Series race on Sunday, there are a number of teams staying at New Hampshire. It's been, and we actually referenced it with Randall, it's been no secret that short tracks and road courses has not been what we've wanted it to be with this generation of race car. What are you hearing? What do we expect? What are you thinking we're going to see out of that test?
Yeah, the little bit I've heard, and I'm not utterly like involved in this piece, but the pieces I've heard and the rumblings I've heard, they're looking at less downforce and actually taking like all the front downforce away with the splitter. Wow. And making it where the trail car then doesn't have a negative to it, because it doesn't, the lead car doesn't have a bunch of front downforce that you're losing when you get in that dirty air. Yeah. Because all of the downforce is made with that air coming underneath the car. And when you're in trail, especially when you get to within one car length, that air becomes dirty, disturbed, right. And it doesn't work for you. So they're looking at, I think, less downforce yet, and especially front, and getting these things where the trail car is more equal to what the lead car mm-hmm. is by the lead car having less yet. So we'll see where it all goes. I'm sure they've got different iterations, different amounts of downforce they're going to work with here, but that direction hasn't been wrong to go lower downforce.
Right.
It's not been like the save all so far, but let's see where they go to with this. Yeah. And it'll be fun to see where these guys get in a couple day tests.
Yeah, will be cool. That's for sure. That test session is after the races. That's Monday and Tuesday. There's teams from Chevy, from Ford, and Toyota all included in that.
I think six cars total. Yeah. So there's a lot of data points. There's a lot of opportunity for information here. And this isn't for this year. Right. NASCAR has said this is all investigation for what the 2024 package will look like.
Yeah. So, fun stuff for sure. Lots and lots of good stuff happening across the NASCAR landscape. Our friends at Performance Racing Network will have all the coverage, NASCAR Xfinity Series and NASCAR Cup Series racing up at New Hampshire. Gives us a chance, though, to talk about all the great programs we have here on MRN. NASCAR Live, our Tuesday night tradition, Mike Bagley and the cast and crew of MRN all carrying on and bringing the sport to color, or bringing the sport to life. NASCAR Live Wide Open, that is a podcast version. That is on Thursday. That's NASCAR Live plus some more. NASCAR Coast to Coast, a look at the roots of NASCAR. Wing Nation, we talk sprint car racing there on Wing Nation. And, of course, this is Crew Call. And share, like, if you see something you see or you like on one of the MRN programs, drop a note on Facebook or on Instagram or on Twitter and spread the gospel. That's how things are promoted these years, and we do appreciate it across the board here. So good stuff, and let's see. We do New Hampshire, PRN does it, and then Pocono.
Yeah.
Quadruple coverage at Pocono, ARCA, Trucks, Xfinity, and Cup.
Next week. Yeah, can't wait to get there.
Man, I can't either. Going to be good stuff. Good time of the year, that's for sure. Hey, we appreciate Randall Burnett joining us here on Crew Call. More important than all of that, though, thank you for joining us this week here on the show.